Good evening, everybody. I pray you all are doing well tonight. Welcome to church. If you have your Bibles with you, I ask that you would turn to 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29, verses 1 to 22. If that part of your Bible hasn't been opened recently, I can understand. 1 Chronicles 29, verses 1 to 22. The chronicler writes these words. And David the king said to all the assembly, Solomon my son, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great, for the palace will not be for man, but for the Lord God. So I have provided for the house of my God, so far as I was able, the gold for the things of gold, the silver for the things of silver, the bronze for the things of bronze, the iron for the things of iron, the wood for the things of wood, besides great quantities of onyx and stones for setting, antimony, colored stones, all sorts of precious stones and marble. Moreover, in addition to all that I have provided for the holy house, I have a treasure of my own of gold and silver, and because of my devotion to the house of my God, I give it to the house of my God. 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver for overlaying the walls of the house, and for all the work to be done by craftsmen, gold for the things of gold, and silver for the things of silver. Who then will offer willingly, consecrating himself today to the Lord? Then the leaders of fathers' houses made their freewill offerings, as did also the leaders of the tribes, the commanders of thousands and of hundreds, and the officers over the king's work. They gave for the service of the house of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. And whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord and in the care of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly, for with a whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. Therefore David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly, and David said, Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to thus offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. For we are strangers before you and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. I know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart I have freely offered all these things, and now I have seen your people who are present here freely offering and joyously to you. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people and direct their hearts towards you. Grant to Solomon, my son, a whole heart that he may keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, performing all, and that he may build the palace for which I have made provision. Then David said to all the assembly, Bless the Lord your God. And all the assembly blessed the Lord, the God of their fathers, and bowed their heads and paid homage to the Lord and to the king. And they offered sacrifices to the Lord, and on the next day offered burnt offerings to the Lord, 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs, with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. And they ate and drank before the Lord on that day with great gladness. This is the word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Our Father, we're thankful for this night. Lord, just help us today that we would have eyes to see and ears to hear wondrous things from your law, that we might know you better today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. This is a really interesting passage, really long one. And because of the brief amount of time that we have tonight, I'm just going to go ahead and give you exactly what we're going to be going through today. And I know, 10 things in this passage that I saw, there's probably more, but there are 10 things about offering in this passage that we learn. 10 things about offering. So we always give our tithes and offerings every single Sunday, or maybe it's every other Sunday, however many. Maybe your paycheck lines up differently and you give a certain amount of times, but we all are very familiar with the idea of giving offering to the Lord, giving money to the church for the purposes of God. And here we learn 10 things, 10 principles, 10 truths, I think, that we can learn from about offering. Number one, offering is given for the purposes of God. Offering is given for the purposes of God. And we see this first in verse 1. David says, the work is great as in importance. That word, it communicates great in importance, not just great as in, well, it's kind of cool. For the work is great in importance, for the palace will not be for man, but for the Lord God. The work that is happening is of such great importance because, for it is directly dealing with God, his glory, and his purposes. David then concludes in the beginning of verse 2, so I have provided. So David gives in light of knowing that the work is great because it deals with the purposes and the glory of God. He gave because the most important thing in the world is that which brings glory to God and helps carry out the purposes of God. The nation of Israel at this time was to be a nation of priests to God, the crossroads of the world. They were to bring all nations into this one central place of worship, to worship the one true God. So the temple, the building of the temple, would offer a permanent place of residence for the presence of God, for them to effectively carry out this purpose, this God-given purpose to them. On top of that, the end of all things is God dwelling with his people. That's where we're even going right now. Behold, our God will dwell with us. That is the goal. That is the final destination. So the building of a temple, a permanent dwelling place for God, would certainly facilitate that glorious purpose and thus bring glory to him. So David gives. He sees that. He understands that purpose. And he says, so I have provided funds. I have given of my own money. He fully believes that the purposes of God for the glory of God are infinitely important and are infinitely great. And so he gives whatever is necessary. And whenever we drop our money into the offering box on Sunday, used to be plates, we do so because we understand that what Paul says in Ephesians 3:10 is true. That through the church, the manifold wisdom of God shall be made known to all nations, to all the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. We see that the preaching and the praying and the singing of the word of God are the ways through which God works into the hearts of his people by his Spirit. And so we see that and we say, it is so valuable that I'm going to give for the purposes of God. You value the salvation of souls through the preaching of the gospel and the discipleship and the maturity of believers and the sustaining and the multiplying of churches. So you give. At least I hope that's why you give. So do you give your offering for the purpose of checking off a spiritual box? Or do you give it because you actually are giving towards something that you believe is infinitely valuable? Namely, the purposes and glory of God. Number two, offering is to be given within reason. Very shortly here, David, the richest man in the world at the time, throws in the qualifier, I have provided the house for my God so far as I was able. Before we get into the other eight tonight, which are going to sound a lot more different than this one, I want you to understand and always keep in mind this point, that you are not supposed to give to the purposes of God so much so that you're out of house and home. You have been given other God-given responsibilities and stewardship that would be bad stewardship if you gave all your money away. So if your family is starving, but man, I gave so much money to the church this week, that's bad use of the money. That is not as much as you are able to give. That's too much. So even David understands this, that it was only so far as he was able. Number three, offering is given purposefully towards specific needs of the church. Offering is given purposefully toward specific needs of the church. David says in verse 2, he gave the gold for the things of gold, silver for the things of silver, bronze for the things of bronze, iron for the things of iron, so on and so forth. And while this might just seem like an accountant's account of what David gave, and perhaps it might just be that, I think it also communicates some sort of purposeful amount of giving that David was performing here. He gave gold, not just because gold was valuable and it could buy a lot of stuff, and he was like, sure, use it however you might wish to build this temple. He gave gold for the things of gold. He gave silver for the things that needed silver. He gave wood for the things that needed wood. He saw the specific needs, and he said, here's the wood for that. Here's the gold for that. Here's the silver for that. So we see a pattern of purposefully seeing and then giving towards certain needs. Friends, you know the needs of the church. You know the needs of this local body. And if you don't, there's nothing a simple conversation can't fix. We have many needs. We have missionaries that we support. We have a general fund that we have. We have benevolence that we help people in the community and help people in our own church. We have Sunday school, youth, children programs, even a building to take care of and eventually expand. David did not give his gold to a big lump sum that was divided up later. He gave his gold for the needs of gold. He gave the things that he knew needed helping. So if you see a need, give towards it. If you see a missionary, if you are burned, then you see that a missionary needs help, then give. Give for that missionary. If you see that you have the funds to do so, then give. Purposely give for the needs of the body. Purposely give for the needs of the church. This also tells us that we should not be unengaged in our giving. We should not be happy just to get the money out of our pockets and into the box. Like it was, that's all we cared about. On your monthly budget for your groceries, you're probably pretty purposeful about how much money you're going to spend on different things. I'm going to spend this much on beans and this much on milk. But I don't think your green beans or your ice cream deserve as much thought and attention as the needs of this body, as the needs of the purposes and for the purposes of God. So we should thoughtfully and purposely and specifically give. Number four, offering is given freely from a humble heart that is devoted to the Lord. And we see this all throughout this passage. Verse 3, because of my devotion. Verse 5, offer willingly. Verse 9, with a whole heart. Verse 9, offered freely. Verse 14, for all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. So offering is given freely from a humble heart that is devoted to the Lord. And these phrases I just read show the motivation, the heart behind offering, behind Godward, God-glorifying offering. Offering comes from someone freely, not begrudgingly. If it pains you to give, you're probably not giving with the right heart. If we are supposed to die to the world and to ourselves as those in Christ, then we should not be attached to our money in that way. Obviously, this is hard. I don't want you to hear me saying that if you ever have struggled to give on a Sunday or any time that you're lost in sin and that you're helpless and you're worse than the unbeliever or anything. But it does take a lot of faith to do these things. And so I understand. Trust me, I understand. I'm a college kid. I'm poor. I understand. The kind of giving that is given in faith is the kind of giving that is described here. So if you have that experience and yet you still give, that's the kind of giving that is described. You're giving in faith for the purposes of God, freely entrusted him because of your devotion to the Lord. Your devotion to the Lord overrode your love of money. The giving of a Christian should not look like a miserly man, a Scrooge, dropping one-tenth of your salary into a jar, but it should be free, joyful, happy, out of a love for God, giving in faith for his glory. Offering also comes from someone who knows that he is only giving back to the Lord what is truly from the Lord. That phrase that I read from verse 14, David prays to God and says, Lord, all that we have is from you, so we are merely giving back to you what is already yours. That is the heart of a Christian giving. In my old church, my home church, one of the things I loved is that we would pass the plates around and we had like a special music or a music play or something, and then the men would come forward with the plates and we would sing, we give thee but thine own over the offering. We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be, all that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. That is the heart of Christian giving, that we understand and we give freely because we understand it's not even ours to begin with. It's God's. Number five, offering should never be restricted to a certain amount. A result of the previous point is that if we are to give freely, that it should never be restricted to a certain amount. David says, in addition, I have a treasure of my own gold and silver. My own gold, his own personal money. And because of my devotion to the house of my God, I give it to the house of my God. David says here that he not only gave what he had set apart to give, maybe his 10%, but he gave in addition to, because of the burden on his heart to give, because of his devotion to his God. He gave extra for the cause. So, in short, don't worship the idol of tithing. Don't worship the idol of tithing. The command in Scripture is not to give 10%. It is to give generously and freely. Tom Schreiner, a famous theologian, wrote a Gospel Coalition article. I would encourage you to go read it, called Seven Reasons Christians Are Not Required to Tithe. And in this, he points out that there is not a single command in Scripture or even a New Testament principle that says 10% tithe is the way that we give. But over and over and over again, on the contrary, that we should give generously. Because the heart of the giving is more important than the amount of the giving. Schreiner says, nowhere is tithing mentioned when commands to give generously are found in the New Testament. When Christians are instructed to give to the poor, they aren't commanded to give the poor tithe. Instead, they are instructed to be generous in helping those in need. And that's in Acts 2:43-47, 4:32-37, 11:27-30, Galatians 2:10, 1 Corinthians 16, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. He goes on to say, since God is to be our treasure, believers are to give generously and freely. And get this, for many in the West, this will mean giving more than 10%, as in if we were truly honest with ourselves. Friends, the heart of giving is more important than the amount. As 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. If you feel the urge to give more, then give more. Do it in faith that the Lord will provide for you and make up the difference if it was really a burden to you. Prayerfully consider that, whether you're going to give in the right way. Number six, offering that is rightly motivated, free, and Godward is an act of consecration. He says, who then will offer willingly, consecrating himself today to the Lord? So rightly motivated, free, Godward giving and is an act of a believer who is consecrating themselves, setting their lives apart, making themselves in their bodies a living sacrifice. In Romans 12, 1 through 2, we see the best probably commands of what consecration is for the believer. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And as we mentioned earlier, we are supposed to be those who despise the world, who are not lovers of money. And so when we take the step in faith to give freely, David says here that you are consecrating yourself. You are entrusting your life, your money, your things to God. And it does a sanctifying work in your heart. It removes you from the love of money, from yourself, your self-centeredness, your selfishness, your pride that is natural to the human heart. Number 7, offering given rightly brings joy to the believer and praise to God. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this verse, on this point, but we see in verse 9, it says, "Then after the people gave, the people rejoiced because they had given willingly. For with a whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord. They gave in obedience to the command of God, to the command of their king, out of their love for God. And not surprisingly, actually, they rejoiced. They said, praise God that he has given us the ability to give towards his purposes and his goal. Praise God he's given me the want to do this. Praise God that his purposes are going to succeed, for he will sovereignly work through this giving." Number 8, offering is to be prayed over. Offering is to be prayed over. David prays in the assembly of people after the offering is given. And I think that this is something else that my home church did that I just really loved, that after we would sing, "We give thee but thine own," we would pray over the offering. And we would ask the Lord to bless its giving, and that it would do what it is meant to do, to provide for missionaries, to provide for the church, and to be effective in providing for the furtherance of the gospel. And so we should pray for, after we give our offering, and even just for the church's offering in general, that it would actually accomplish what it was supposed to be, what it was given for, which was the furtherance of the gospel, the furtherance of the kingdom. But also, we should also pray prior to, "Lord, help me be open to the idea of giving more than what I anticipate. Father, help me think of how I might bless someone else and give generously to others. How I might care for others in this way. Lord, help me not to love money so much that whenever you move my heart to give to this missionary, that I'd stifle it away." So pray over offering. Number 9, people who give or who love to give follow the example of godly leadership. And the final 2 points here, 9 and 10, come from the pattern we see in this passage. In the first 5 verses, David says, "I am giving, I am giving, I am giving." And then 6 through 10, the people give in light of what David requests of them. And then in 10 through the end of verse 19, David prays and blesses God for what has happened and prays to him that he would bless this offering. And then in verse 20, David says, "Bless the Lord your God." And it says, "And all the assembly bless the Lord." So this is a challenge for both godly leadership to step up and also those under godly leadership to follow their godly leadership. For those in leadership in this church or in leadership in other ways, do you model this type of giving so that the people under you might follow in your footsteps? Those under godly leadership, which is most of us, are you following the command of God to submit to your leaders by following them in their faithfulness and their giving? So the people who love to give follow the example of their leaders. Number 10, and finally, and quickly, people who love to give follow the example of Jesus Christ. People who love to give follow the example of Jesus Christ. It is a biblical theological fact that David is a type of Christ, that he examples and shows a picture of the person of Christ before he comes. David is an anointed king, the father of the first of a line of anointed kings that leads to the one and only Messiah. the King Jesus Christ. But David stands out in that whole line as one who is uniquely a type of Christ. One of David's great-grandsons does not stand out as a type of Christ as David does. He's a man after God's own heart, after all. He receives a covenant from the Lord in 2 Samuel 7, and he is God's anointed king. This is why we see messianic themes in the Psalms. This is why we see Jesus called the Son of David so many times, because he's very deeply tied to David. And here the passage gives a nod in that biblical theological broad trajectory. You see, in all of the passages leading up to this, David seems to be more often mentioned as David. David, David, David. But then in 29:1, he says, David the king. And then in 29:9, he says, David the king. He does not use just David's name here. He mentions the fact that he is the king. And then in verse 20, it says that the people bowed their heads and paid homage to the Lord and to David the king? No, it just says to the king, setting up a broad scope, a broad example that those who are following in the footsteps of their leaders, who follow in the example of the king in front of them in giving for the purposes and the glory of God, that they are those who pay homage to God. Friends, the promised king in the line of David, our Savior Jesus Christ, modeled this type of giving for us to the highest degree by coming to earth and through his sacrificial work on the cross for us. In fact, the truths about offering that we talked about today, the first eight, are Jesus models these perfectly. He models them perfectly. Offering is given for the purposes of God. Jesus came to earth and went to the cross to do the will of the Father, to fulfill the law, to fulfill the prophecies concerning him, and accomplish the perfect purposes and plan of God, as Ephesians 1 says. 2, offering is to be given within reason. Well, thank God he just didn't give it within reason. He actually did something completely humiliating, something completely outside of what God would be expected to do, and that he paid it all for us. He became human, and he was obedient even to the point of death. 3, offering is given purposely towards specific needs of the church. The sacrificial work of Christ was done specifically for you, friends. Isaiah 53 famously says, he was pierced for our transgressions, for our iniquities. He makes intercession for the transgressors. Romans 5, 6 through 8 culminates in verse 8 that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was specific, he was purposeful in his sacrifice, in his giving of himself for you. 4, offering is given freely from a humble heart that is devoted to the Lord. Jesus is gentle and lowly in heart. He is the Lord. He freely gave his life for the Father. He says, nobody takes my life from me. I have the authority. I lay it down. I have the authority to take it up again. Jesus freely gives himself, and he does so to do the will of the Father and to bring glory to God. 5, offering should never be restricted to a certain amount. Jesus did not restrict anything, but paid it all for our sins. 6, offering that is rightly motivated, freeing Godward, is an act of consecration. Jesus in John 17 says, I consecrate myself for them. He literally sacrificed his body for the purposes of God, for the purposes of himself, for his glory and honor. 7, offering given rightly brings joy to the believer and praise to God. Jesus says in John 17, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. 8, finally, offering is to be prayed over. In John 17, Jesus prays over his disciples, over his people before his sacrificial work, and he says, Lord, let the work that I am about to do bring unity to them, that they may know you, that they may be in you and in me as I am in you and you are in me, by your Spirit, that they may have a love for one another. Jesus prayed over his offering, over his people. So conclusion, friends, let us consider today, let us begin praying today, that we might follow the example of our Lord and give in this way, purposely, for the purposes and glory of God.